Well, greetings to each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus on Wednesday morning. We have a fresh new start today. This morning I'd like to speak on walking in the light. Walking in the light. As Brother Mark was sharing this morning about our mind, I sort of felt prompted I should just share, maybe with you young men, some things that I faced just a little part as a young man. I was involved in hunting as a young man, but really my thing was trapping. I loved to trap animals. And we'd spend many hours reading articles, bought books, how to trap raccoon, how to trap fox, and spend hours studying, practicing, preparing, getting it just right. And I was zealous in my faith as a young Christian. Trapping season would run from November through the end of January. Most fur bearers, bearing animals, were open for those seasons in Ohio. But one day I realized, you know, in February and March, guess what I'm reading? Trapping articles. Trapping season is just over. And I'm still immersing myself in trapping articles. So I sort of backed off. I continued to do some trapping, but I sort of backed off. And then there was a day that I felt the question in my heart. So if I am truly willing to let go of trapping, and deer hunting was pretty high on the list for me too. If I'm truly willing, would I be willing to advertise my equipment in the classifieds in a local paper? Whew. Tough question. But in my heart, I knew there's only one right answer. That right answer stung a little bit. I've gone through the process. I've ended up with the ideal fox trap with the right length chain and loop and everything. You have your coon traps, your muskrat traps. Everything was right. I had the waders. I had the trowels. Okay. And I've practiced for years. I've done things Dad chuckled and laughed at and said, no, you won't accomplish that. Will I sell it all? So I said, Lord, you're first in my life. I wrote up a classified ad and advertised it all, including, in Ohio, we can't use high-powered rifles for deer hunting. I had a 20-gauge 870 with an improved cylinder barrel on it and a scope. It was like my dream and a sling. Nice. I knew where it would shoot. I advertised it all. 1 week. I'll advertise it 1 week, and Lord, whatever you sell, I'm letting go. And guess what happened? This is about October, I think. Prime season for these items. They almost ran over me to get all my stuff. I mean, all of it. The stretchers were gone. The waders were gone. I had at least a dozen calls on the gun. It was gone. was a different fall for me. I haven't trapped since. I could. But for years, and today I think I'd be okay. But for years, I had this fear, if I really would get into it, that it'd be dangerous ground for me. Because that was at the top of the list for me. I didn't hunt for a number of years until I saw a white square box when I went hunting. That's called the freezer. So, if a year and a half old buck or a 2.5 year old buck walks in front of me, am I willing to shoot it? That's taboo in Ohio. Do you know that? With all of the hunting stuff that's out there, managing the herd and letting them grow to a certain level. And I mean, people spend a lot of money. Some of you know all about it. We are allowed more than one deer in Ohio. So it doesn't have to be a 4.5 year old buck. And by the way, just in case you're trying to figure this out, they're not that good to eat. You're better off with the doe or the young buck, to be honest. So if you're truly hunting for meat, I just put that challenge before you. It may be one thing to sell that gun, but it may be another thing to have a picture of yourself with this nice little year and a half old buck. How about that? You don't need all the perfect techniques to shoot him. Now, you can't be foolish out there. God has made them the way he has. But where's our heart? And are we willing to answer God and say, yes, I'll be on the line? Walking in the light. If we're going to pick up the torch, we will need to walk in the light. If we're going to pick up the torch, we will need to walk in the light. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 8 of the same chapter says, "For we were sometimes darkened, for ye were sometimes darkness. But now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. I'm going to be some in 1 John chapter 1 today and also St. John chapter 3. I'm going to use a number of other scriptures as well. But walking in the light is fairly well laid out in these two chapters, if we look at them well in certain verses. And I'd like to talk about walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, what does it mean to walk in the light? What does light mean? And I don't have lots of different definitions here this morning, but the one in Strong's was just simply one word, and it was luminousness. Luminousness. To be illumined is to be lit up. Actually, we have the lights on in here this morning. This room is fairly well illuminated. Now, I would like, if we could, for a little bit, just have the lights turned off. Walking in the light. I don't know how we would feel about today, maybe even the next hour, just functioning like this. Unfortunately, this is not completely dark. Now let's turn them back on. Here in this service, which one are we more comfortable with? We like things to be lit up, don't we? We don't like stumbling around and not knowing where we're going, not being able to see around us. This is illuminated. This is illuminated. We are to walk in the light in our Christian life. God is light. So if we are children of God, it says we should walk as children of light. If we're children of God, God is light. God is the all-revealing one. God is the all-revealing one. Isn't it interesting, on the way to Damascus, that the Apostle Paul was knocked down to the ground by a light shining out of heaven? And his response was, "Lord, what shall I do?" Why did he say that? He must have sensed the holiness of God and the presence of God, and that this light was God. God is light. And he received some instructions as to what he should do to change his life, to change his course, to bring correction to his direction. And I believe it brought quite a bit of repentance to Paul's life. The closer we get to God, who is the light, the more we see our own undoneness. The closer we get to God and His Word, the more He reveals our sin. And those things that are not completely light. Revival comes when we choose to walk in the light and allow God to expose who I really am or what really is in my heart. You could say this message is an addition to what I shared yesterday about heart Christianity. Because walking in the light allows the light of the Word of God and the Spirit of God to shine into my heart and show me what is really in here. Like God saying, "Okay, Paul, you have mostly, maybe 90% surrendered this whole thing about trapping. Could you just give me the final?" And sometimes that final, even though it looks only like 10%, actually finally hits the deep root that's in my heart. You know, there's a verse that I don't know if I can say most of the U.S. anymore, but used to be most of the U.S. knew. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We all know that verse. But do we know what it says several verses later? It is in the same magnificent chapter of John chapter 3. And it's just as defining as verse 16 is. Let's start in verse 18. "He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." Sorry about that. Let me start over. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. In verse 19 he says, this is the condemnation. Our Lord teaching here and speaking. That light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or made manifest, discovered, made open. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now we just went through this whole thing about shutting the lights off, and we turned them back on. We all felt better about having them back on. Now let's turn the lights back off. People love darkness because their deeds are evil. That's why you have theft and ungodliness happening at night when nobody is seeing. That's why there's what's called security lights in this room that will not allow this room to go totally dark. Because people don't like walking through a room where there's some light when they're somewhere doing ungodly things. That's why there's pole lights outside buildings in the night. So that people won't approach the building because they can't approach the building with at least being seen a little bit. People love darkness because their deeds are evil. Now let's turn the lights back on. When we walk in the light, we bring our deeds to the light. When we walk in the light, we allow the inner places of our hearts to be exposed to God and to each other. Now, could we have just a partial here? Good. I didn't know how this was going to turn out, but this is perfect. Many times, this is how we like it. Can you turn the other two off and now turn the middle on? Mm-hmm. Both of these are partial. We like being in the light. But we also like some area where we can hide a little bit. That's how we are. And that's the purpose for looking at walking in the light this morning. Now let's turn them all on. The question we need to ask ourselves is, am I willing to allow the lights to all be turned on in my life? In my heart? Or do I have areas that I want to keep dimmed down? Maybe there's a door that is closed. Maybe there's even a lock on that door and we don't go there. But God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I have 4 points this morning. And I don't know if I'm going through all of them. I want to at least cover the first two. But before I go further, I would like to recommend a book to you this morning. I have not investigated this author. I don't know all his doctrines. So I'm not recommending everything that he may have out there. But what I do know is this little book called The Calvary Road is healthy reading. This little book is healthy reading. This is one of the books that is on my list to read about every 2 years. Some people do things like this annually. I'm not a book reader. I'm not an avid reader. I don't sit down and just read big books over and over and over, one through the next. But here's a book that I recommend to you, The Calvary Road. What does it mean to be at the foot of the cross? What does it mean to be yielded to Jesus Christ? What does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to get closer to God and have God begin to put His finger on things in our hearts and lives that look like they're okay or not so bad? But God says, if you really want to serve me with a single heart and a single eye, then what about letting go of this one? Point number one, sin causes us to hide. Sin causes us to hide. John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This verse is a concern today, right here at Bible school in Ephrata in 2017. We want to say we have fellowship with Him. But in a group this size, it is very likely that there are a number of us that have areas in our lives where we're walking in darkness that we have shut off and closed off. John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or discovered, made manifest. So here we are fellowshipping with Him, saying we have fellowship with Him, but we have reserves in our hearts and lives. Now He says in chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And we may want to say, my deeds aren't really evil. Well, let me ask this question. If my deeds are not evil, why do I want some darkness? Why do I want partial light? See, we need to be honest with our own hearts and with our own lives. We need to be honest about it. Why do I like some darkness? Why do I not want to go there? Why am I not freely opening it up? I'm hiding in that area. We say we have fellowship in Him, with Him, and walk in darkness. If we do this, we lie and we do not the truth, and we suffer condemnation. Because light is come into the world, and I'm enjoying seclusion and covering in this particular area in my life. Lest my deeds should be made known. I don't want others to know about this. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3, and I'd encourage you to turn there. Genesis chapter 3, very familiar scripture. But there are some things happening here in Genesis chapter 3 that we want to look at. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to start reading in verse 7. The serpent has come. The serpent has tempted, enticed, convinced. Eve has partaken. She has eaten, and she's given to her husband Adam, and he has eaten. And then in verse 7 he says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So the first thing we want to notice here is when they disobeyed God, as soon as the act was done, they knew they were naked. That's how it is with us. As soon as we commit sin, we know that was wrong. That was wrong. And we know, very likely some of you are sitting here this morning already as at this point in the message, and you are thinking about specific things in your life because we know. We know. If we're willing to be honest, it is not difficult. We know. Then he says in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Okay? They know. And the very next thing is, and they heard the voice of the Lord God. We hear the voice of the Lord God about those corners, about those rooms. Maybe it's just a little closet that is locked. But in that closet are some skeletons of sin. We know, and we are hearing the voice of the Lord God about that closet, or about that room, or about that area, specific subject in our lives. You know, it'd be endless for me to try to get up here and say everything that could be in our hearts here this morning that God may want to shed light on. But you know, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Because we know, and we're hearing the voice of God about those matters. The response of Adam and Eve was Adam and his wife hid themselves. They knew they were naked. They tried to do something about it as best they could. And then when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid. Hope he doesn't find me. Let's stay out of sight. Just be quiet. What shall we do? Oh my, something's wrong. Hiding. We do that. We know. We hear the voice of God. And then our response as human beings is to hide. Thus we bring darkness. The deed was dark and we turn the lights off in that room. Let's not go there. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, Adam, where are you? There's the voice of God again. And we hear that voice. He's calling our name. And he's saying, where are you? He's saying our name. And he's saying, can we go into this room? Why is it that you closed this room? Why is it that you turned the lights off? Can we go in here? Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. When we know that we have sin, when we know we have sin, we're hearing the voice of God about it. We sense the darkness. There is a thing that happens in our hearts. It's fear. And our adversary, the devil, wants to play that thing as high as he can get it right now in this room. Because if he can keep us scared and afraid of dealing with that issue and facing God with it, and having others know this is who I am, he's winning. He's winning. And we're not able to walk in the light. We will begin to walk in darkness. And when we walk in partial light, it's a form of walking in darkness. And amongst Christianity, there is much walking in partial light. We selectively want our light in certain places. Selectively. I was afraid. Now he's giving a reason. I was afraid because I'm naked. God, this thing just came upon me. All of a sudden, we're figuring out we're naked. Which God later said, so how did you figure that out? Did you disobey me? See, we try to dodge. Let's not dodge it. God, I'm hiding because we ate fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, we have the results of realizing we're naked. Nakedness was not the issue. It was disobedience to God. That was the issue. So because of that, I hid myself. No, you hid yourself because you disobeyed God. We have to be honest with our own hearts. When we confess our sins, we like to soft pedal it. Let's not do that. Let's just bring it forth as it is. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou shouldest not eat? Now something else starts. God gets specific with Adam. Adam, how did you figure out you were naked? Did you eat from the tree whereof I commanded thee not to eat of? The man said, he didn't answer. He didn't say yes or no. The answer was yes. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But he's hiding. He says, the woman whom thou gavest me. God, you know, you brought me this woman that you gave me. She gave me the tree, and I finally admits and I did eat. But really, God, you gave this woman to me. This was your idea. And through your idea, I have ended up eating of the tree. Blaming others. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent. The serpent. And we may be saying the same thing. Well, I would have never done it, but so and so. That's not the question. The question was, did you eat from the tree? And the answer was, yes. We didn't need the flowery speech. We didn't need all the excuses. We didn't need all the blame on other people. The answer was, yes. Coming to the light with our pet sins, with our closet sins. I am struggling here with even getting through my 2 points. So Lord, help me to know what to say here. John chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. Again, for point number 2 is coming to the light. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, we need a spiritual awakening. A spiritual awakening where there's conviction of sin and where there's confession of sin. Where our pet sins are confessed. Those secret closet or secret room sins are confessed. Where hearts are cleared. Even relationships are restored when this takes place. Proverbs 28:13. We've heard this several times this week. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Walking in the light. walking in the light. God is light. God fully illuminates. Not walking in partial light, but walking in the light. We will prosper in our Christian faith if we walk in the light. We'll be able to pick up the torch and go on for God and be a light and a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth if we will walk in the light. Walking in the light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, he says, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let it no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Galatians 5:16-21. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the light, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These two are enemies, just like the poem that Brother Mark quoted this morning. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led of the Spirit. He says, now the works of the flesh, which oppose the Spirit, the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. These things will not go to heaven. God wants to deal with all of it in our hearts and lives. Now surely, if we came to Bible school, we have nothing to do with any of these things, right? We're human. We have natural responses that want to cover those special rooms, those special parts in my heart. And I'm going to venture to say there are some sitting here that have some of these things in their hearts and lives. God is calling us to walk in the light. I'd like to get practical and specific about a few things. Being under our authorities, where are we in this matter? Are we walking in the light? Or Do I have a compartment in my heart that belongs to me? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. What is my response to Dad? What is my response to Mom? You see, the Bible says, Jesus taught, that the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. And young people, if we deal with this one, most of the other things will fall into place. They will. Because now the door is open, my heart is open to communicate with the authorities in my life, and I can get help, and I'm willing to communicate and receive help when those other issues come up. But when we close that one up, or we have it partly open, we open ourselves to darkness. Being open and transparent is my life, are our lives, an open book. An open book that can be paged through and observed. Or do I walk around like this? I'm in charge. I'm not holding it like this. I'm holding the front side of it. I need to know when it's opened and where. Is that how it is? Or is my life and my heart an open book that can be looked at and observed? Are there pages in my book that are off limits? I don't want to go there with other people. Are there pages like that? Maybe we have several books, and some of them are open. But there's this one that's closed. It's just for me. It's just for me. We're talking about walking in the light this morning. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Walking in the light. Do our authorities know what books and literature we are reading? I appreciated the comment about the romance novels this morning. There's other books too. Do our authorities know what we're feeding on? Do they approve of what we're feeding on? Do they bless what we are feeding on? Do our parents know who we are communicating with on our phone? Now, if you're here and you don't have a phone, and I expect there are some, your own phone, just bear with us here a little bit, because I think there's many here that have their own phone. So do your parents and authorities know who you're communicating with on your phone? Whether that is phone conversation or text. And then there's a step further. Do they approve? Do you have their blessing? Are they giving you guidelines they want you to limit yourself with? And are you following those with a submissive, cheerful heart? Or maybe a heart that's struggling, feeling restrained. My friends can do it, why can't I? Walking in the light. Walking in the light. Do we allow our parents to take our phone and just check and see what's going on my phone whenever they choose? Or is my phone pocketed? it's mine. I make sure nobody gets a hold of it at any time that I don't know, because, you know, I have to guard when people look. Or can your phone lay on the kitchen table for anybody to pick up? There's nothing to hide here. Many a young person has fallen through just phone conversation and text, communicating, and mom and dad and their authorities don't know who you're talking about with. Same thing can happen here. Are you in good company? What are you talking about? Is it upbuilding in your faith, or is it tearing you down? We do the same thing on the phone, except we can do it at any time, anywhere, without very much supervision. Young people, if we're going to be able to pick up the torch, we need to walk in the light. We need to live a life that is above question and without question. Do you desire accountability? Another question is our music. What music are we listening to? I'm at a place, I'm not some super person on music, but I'm at a place where I'm firmly persuaded that the music we listen to dictates where we go. Young people, for serious and real, the music we listen to dictates where we go. It does. What music are we listening to? Again, do our parents and authorities approve of the music that we're listening to? Do they know what we're listening to? And a step further, do the people that are singing or playing the music we're listening to, are they going in a direction I want to go? This is an important question. Are the people that I'm following in my music going where I want to go? Are they going where my authorities want me to go? And if the answer is yes, good. If the answer is no, put it away. I'm one of those young men, or was one of those young men, that went on a music fast one day. And I decided, you know, I'm just turning it all off for a month. I enjoy singing. I'm not the most perfect singer, but I enjoy making a joyful noise and praising the Lord. Well, guess what? I think 6 months went by, and I forgot about all this music stuff, because I had my focus on serving the Lord. Maybe it was a year, I'm not sure. One day, I opened a drawer. We were young married, and I don't know if I opened it or my wife. What about this music? Well, okay. Stick a tape in, let's listen to it. And I go, really? I don't think we want to listen to that one anymore. Put another one in. Really? No, I don't think we want that one either. Now, I don't know today what the percentages were, but at least half of my music got choked. And it was Southern gospel type stuff. Today it is all kinds of other stuff. There may be some of you that would be doing good if you listen to Southern gospel. But I'm here to share with you where your music is where you're going. Where your music is where you're going. Are we walking in the light? God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Let's go to the boy-girl thing for a little bit. Lust in our mind. Lust in our mind. Maybe for you young men, this is more relevant. Lust in our mind. And can I just ask, are there secrets we're keeping all to ourselves in this area that we know all about? But we don't want to tell anybody else. We want to act like God doesn't know, but God does see. Young ladies, the romance novels, maybe not. Maybe it's just fantasizing in our mind about young men. Maybe it's flirting and they're drawing attention. Where are we at on this whole thing as young people? You know, God made you as a young man and as a young lady. God put in each one of your hearts and lives a natural desire that draws you to sometime having a life companion. These are natural things that God has put there. But in your youth, as you come up to puberty and you become an adult person, you need to learn how to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor before God. So all the flirting, all the talk, all the boy-girl stuff, if I can call it that way, does that take us towards sanctification and honor? Could I give you a recommendation in this area? Once again, let's go back to your authorities. Have you given this matter over to your authorities? Have you given your heart to your authorities concerning a companion in your life? Young person, you can be free in this area. You can have a place of rest. You don't have to wrestle and wrestle and wrestle. You can have mom and dad to talk to. If you don't have mom and dad to talk to, it can be a spiritual authority for you. You can have somebody to talk to that you can confide in, that you can turn to for answers and say, I give my heart to you in this matter, and you're free. Blessed place to be. You can walk in the light. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. I have several more verses here I'd like to share and then need to conclude. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be covered. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. There is a day coming when all of those secret rooms will be opened up. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Young people, I'd like to do something here this morning. As I was preparing this and thinking about walking the light, I had a time of just reflecting on my own heart. And I have some areas I want you to pray for me. I shared the trapping thing with you. And I can honestly say I don't know that trapping faces me at all anymore. But there are a few other areas that I still face. Another thing I followed in my youth was Major League sports. Today, I still notice the headlines and the articles. Sometimes I'm tempted. Sometimes I've even given in to reading an article. But I'm here to ask you to pray for me. And I open my heart to you coming and asking me about it. Now, this means more at home than it does here, because this week there's not even really a temptation for me in this area. But accountability. Another one I thought about that I find that I am guarding myself and I'm watching how much time I'm using, and that's reading the news. But as I thought about it, it's like, you know, the very fact that I'm guarding my heart tells me there's a little struggle there. Really, honestly, there's a struggle there, or I wouldn't be guarding my heart. Now, I'm not going to throw away guarding our hearts, but we're people. So please pray for me in that area. And I'm open to you asking me about it. Pride and lust were mentioned the other evening. I fought many a battle with these two. And I've concluded there's never a time to relax. There's never a time to relax. Pray for me in these areas. And then I also put on this list that I am lacking in my prayer life. I'm not prayerless, but I know I am lacking in my prayer life. So please pray for me. You see, we need to be open about our lives. If we open up, you know what happens? We gain accountability one with another, and we gain victory. One of the lies from the devil is that I'm the only person that struggles with this. I remember as a young person thinking, oh boy, I must be unique, that I struggle with some of these things. And in time, because of openness from others, I figured out I'm pretty common. I'm pretty common. But if we open up and we share, we can help each other overcome. Walking in the light. 1 Timothy 5, verse 24 and 25. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifested beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. The question is, are we going to keep our sins for judgment day to be shouted from the housetop? Or are we going to open up, walk in the light here, and to be honest? This is what I face. I'm a real person. This is what I face. I'm sorry. There may be tremendous fear about opening up that room that has been snugly kept. My dear young person, you can be free. Find someone to pray with. Find yourself a counselor. Allow them to help you open that room and walk in. It's time to clean the house. But you go there with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that room can have the lights turned off, on, and never cause fear in your heart again. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at ephrataministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.